DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
In some quarters, Ireland has gained an unwelcome reputation for being something of a haven for so-called libel tourists. As a result of a new defamation bill, it's been on the cards for some time, but are the proposals to, among other things, abolish juries for such cases a step too far? Owen O'Dell is Associate Professor of Law at Trinity College in Dublin, and he joins me now. Owen, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, the proposals, the one that's got the most traction, I suppose, in terms of public discussion, is the idea of abolishing juries for defamation cases. They looked at this and they had a choice and they've opted to abolish.
Yes, and they've opted to take the most extreme version of abolition. The argument is that inconsistent and unpredictable damages, you know, you get a jury that gives 10 million in damages and the Court of Appeal has to reduce it to 250,000. High costs, delays, procedural complexity, all of these things are driven in the High Court by the presence of a jury. And if you remove the jury, the idea is you remove the prospect of unpredictable damages, the protraction of the case and delay and so on. Now, they could have done it in two ways. What they have done in England and Wales and Northern Ireland is to say that there is a presumption against jury trials, but the parties can apply and the judge has to decide whether it's in the interest of justice to allow the case to proceed. And in a libel action being taken by Swan against Van Morrison, the former Northern Ireland Minister for Health, both parties wanted it to go to a jury and the High Court allowed it to go to a jury. On the other hand, what seems to be the position of the department, certainly in its various documents leading up to this, is simply to abolish juries outright and not to have an argument on the part of the parties that the interests of justice require it. This is, from the department's perspective, a strong commitment to ensuring control of high damages, to ensuring control of delay and procedural complexity and so on.
So it's not about the wisdom of a jury in assessing whether someone has been defamed or damaged. It's about the money.
It's, the argument against abolishing juries is that defamation is judged on community standards and the jury is the embodiment of community standards. But the argument against that is that in every other civil case where there is also a community standard element, the judges make those decisions. So there are nice arguments here. And the arguments in favour of retaining juries, or at least retaining the possibility of an application for juries, will continue to be made. But yes, the main reason driving this is the unpredictability of juries, especially relating to damages.
Not the unpredictability in terms of their verdict as to whether or not someone's been defamed, because we know that in for example, criminal trials, a jury is very rarely overturned on appeal.
And the same is true in defamation cases. The Court of Appeal and the Supreme Court has continuously said that there is a strong deference to jury decisions when it comes to questions of defamation and defences and so on. But increasingly, the courts have been finding jury awards to be disproportionate. And this is just simply taking account of that.
Now, the difficulty then, when you've got a jury of whether it's 9, 10, 11 or 12 jurors, you've got a number of opinions which may be in the jury room discussed back and forth and so on. When you've got a judge, you've got one man or one woman who decides. And, you know, there is the fear, I suppose, that a mercurial judge who takes a set against someone, you know, someone who doesn't like the music of Van Morrison, for example, or you know, I'm only throwing that in because you mentioned Van Morrison, but that you could end up at the wrong end of that judge's ire.
Well, that is an argument against judges in general, and not an argument against judges in particular in defamation cases. And there are two solutions to this.
Let's just say that someone said that the music of Van Morrison was utter rubbish, and it's played in court, and the judge said, "That's bloody rubbish. Never heard anything like that before. Case dismissed." Do you know what I mean?
Yes, but there are two solutions to that. The first is the fact that justice is administered in public. So your colleagues in the courts will be able to make that clear. And the fact of publicity is one of the things that helps to constrain judges to remain on the straight and narrow. And second, if you do get an egregious judge, whether in defamation or elsewhere, there is always the prospect of an appeal. And third, the judge would be wrong when he says that about Van Morrison.
Okay. Moving on, though, this is a decision that's been made. There will be an abolition of juries in defamation cases. Now, the other issue that comes up all the time is where the defamation is published. You know, it can be published on radio, in the newspapers. More and more offensive stuff, which might be defamatory, appears online. What does the new defamation bill have to say about online defamation?
There is one thing it doesn't do and two things it does. It is perfectly clear that if I went online on Twitter and defamed you, you could sue me. And there are lots of cases in England now where defamation on Twitter has resulted in significant damages, and also in Australia. We haven't had a significant case in Ireland yet, though we have had a case where defamation on Twitter has resulted in an injunction.
But Twitter, so, where we found the offending message, is not party to all of this because it is deemed to be a platform, not a publisher.
Well, I'm not sure that that's a particularly helpful distinction. What the law says, implementing the e-commerce directive, is that in the first instance, Twitter has an immunity in respect of content that it hosts. But if it gets notice of defamation, it must take it down or it loses that immunity and damages. And one of the things that the bill is purporting to do, at least on the assumption that the heads of the bill from 18 months ago are replicated in the bill due this week, is to put clear procedures in place around what that notice and takedown procedure should look like, to encourage compliance by the platforms with it, and so as to ensure that it's clear when they are liable. Now, it's not, you know, the shorthand is to say they're liable as a publisher, but in fact, it is really that they are losing their immunity. Mm. They would already be liable.
No, but here's what happens. You get some yob who manages to get on the airwaves in spite of the best editorial efforts of the News Talk staff, and then that yob defames somebody. Generally, the action is taken against News Talk as publisher. The yob, who has no money anyway, is not going to be sued, or maybe sued, but will never have to cop up a Red Rex because it doesn't possess one. So in the situation where some yob offends on Twitter and doesn't have a bean to his or her name, you'd like to think you could go after Elon Musk, who has plenty of it.
Well, let me take both halves of that. Let me take your example first of me saying something defamatory on your program. And I'm sure you and your colleagues have horror stories where that has happened on radio and television. Given your long career on both, maybe it has happened to you. This bill is going to introduce a defense where the broadcaster has taken reasonable and prudent precautions against this kind of defamation. For example, a reasonable amount of time delay so as to be able to cut off a potential defamatory statement. And secondly, The immunity that the e-commerce directive provides here is the functional equivalent of that reasonable and prudent precautions defense that you are now about to get. And libel-proof plaintiffs, libel-proof defendants, defendants who don't have any damages, as you say, happen offline as well as online. And, you know, in your example, News Talk will have a defense, which it can lose if it doesn't take reasonable precautions. And online, again, the platforms have a defense, which they will lose if they don't follow the notice and take down reasonable precautions.
Now, will it indicate how much time the platforms have to take stuff down? You know, if they are alerted by an email, and who knows whether they even, on some of the platforms, even open the emails, they make it quite difficult to get in touch if you're offended by something that is online. Often you hear horror stories of people saying it was up there for 2 days after I told them. So will there be time limits? You know, what is the word reasonable occurs all the time in the law, mm-hmm. and it's very difficult to define.
Yes, the department looking at some Canadian models is considering various time limits about when the notice goes in, how the first reaction has to be, how quickly the final reaction has to be. So these are the things that are currently blank in the e-commerce directive as implemented into Irish law that the department wants to fill in.
Okay, now SLAP, which is a strategic lawsuit against public participation. Mm-hmm. This is to kind of silence people who might have quite valid points to make, but they are stopped in their tracks by the initiation of a lawsuit. Does it deal with SLAP in any shape or form?
Yes, one of the significant innovations in this bill is to introduce a whole new procedure by which SLAPs can be dismissed at an early stage. Most of the other reforms are dealing with problems with the existing defences and the existing cause of action and so on in the 2009 Act. This is entirely new, and it's another response to those various challenges of potentially high damages and procedural complexity and so on. So a judge will in a SLAP application have to decide whether the public interest in freedom of expression on the part of the journalist being threatened is greater than the damage to, potentially greater than the damage to the reputation of the SLAP plaintiff. And if it is, the judge will be able to strike out the application.
Now, the final question about all of this is the cost of taking a defamation action. And the difficulty in going to the High Court, which is a very expensive process day by day by day, the costs mount up. Is there any indication that you could start off in a lower court with lower expenses?
You can always start in the Circuit Court if you choose. So, for example, when Kitty Holland sued John Waters recently, she sued in the Circuit Court and got damages in the Circuit Court. So that's always available as a choice. One thing that this bill isn't considering, but which I think ought to get into the mix at this stage, is whether there should be a presumption that every defamation case starts in the Circuit Court. And it is only if the interests of justice require that the Circuit Court judge could send it to the High Court. And if that is the case, then all of the issues about disproportionate damages, procedural complexity and so on disappear, because a lot of those issues relate to High Court procedures. And then if it does get referred to the High Court, all of these other things that the bill is doing in respect of High Court applications would continue to apply.
And what about the limit to damages in the Circuit Court? Would that be what would occur, that if you go to the lower court, then the ceiling on damages would be lower, or is that
yes.
out the window now?
Well, no, the department hasn't considered this. I'm putting this out as a new suggestion. And I'm suggesting that the 75,000 limit in most Circuit Court actions would, in the first instance, apply. And it would only be, for example, if you could establish that the damages should be considerably higher than that, that the matter would move to the High Court. So there would be a practical limit on defamation damages if the matter were usually to start in the Circuit Court.
Owen, thank you very much for a very good explanation of what is going to unfold in defamation law. Owen Udell is Associate Professor of Law at Trinity College in Dublin.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.